Welcome to Philanthropy Today. Our goal is to inspire giving by educating listeners on ways to give and how to connect with charitable causes. My name is Dave Lewis. I'm your host of Philanthropy Today. Thank you for joining the show. We're continuing in Philanthropy Today with our series of visits with those that have served as chairs or presidents of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation's Board of Directors. And this is going to be quite a discussion today, Vern, because the year of 2020 and 2021 with Bill Barr was one that posed plenty of challenges, yet a lot of successes.
Indeed. Our governance year is structured where we begin April 1st, and so Bill took over April 1st of 2020, and just so happens a few weeks before that, all heck broke loose, and COVID pretty much kind of closed us down. Didn't stop us, but certainly changed our mode of operation. And Bill, thankfully, managed through that as chair, and we managed it through it as an organization and survived the year and probably even prospered in many ways. So, Bill, thank you for your adaptation and making things possible. So
you bet. It was a wonderful experience. Vern told me beforehand, you know, it's going to be just smooth sailing and shouldn't be any hiccups. And then right away, we had probably one of the larger hiccups we've seen in quite a while. But you're right. We adapted. And just took care of things and took care of business, and it made some changes too. And it was an exceptional year overall.
I think the crazy part about that year is that we made decisions without any end note in mind. I mean, we were making day-to-day decisions, and as time went, they may have got a little bit longer in time frame, but we were hoping that things were going to loosen up the next day, the next week, the next month, and before it was over with, we were almost through the year for you.
Yeah, there were a lot of trying to plan, but not knowing how some of those plans were going to be, but we adapted and really had a successful campaign in a number of levels, and I know we're going to talk about a little bit more, but how the community responded to some of those things was really remarkable and noteworthy.
Right.
Let's kind of start back at the time before we had this awkward moment in our world. And talk about how you first got engaged with the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation.
Initially, mostly became aware of it through my partner, Sean Robin. His wife, Michelle, was one of the initial executive directors of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. And so became aware of it through that affiliation. And then became a trustee, became involved in some activities and events. And then Vern kind of talked to me some about getting involved a little more, and that precipitated being on the board. And I just was a fan of the organization and the activities, and the board decided to have me serve in the chair role. And involvement from the beginning to end has just, and continuing, I should say, been a really good experience.
So what did it mean to you to be asked to become chair?
It meant a lot. I try and be involved in the community and give back to the community, and it's something where I feel like the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation really has a finger on the pulse of a lot of different areas in Manhattan and really in the region. And donors give money, and we're responsible and a fiduciary for those funds. There's a lot of services that look to the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation to be the resource of either annual support or sometimes special projects. And then there's scholarship money, and there's art and support of those endeavors. And I knew it was an important position, but I had the support of the board and staff, the constant day-to-day there. So it meant a lot. Appreciated the opportunity to serve in that way.
We take a look back at one of the standard questions that we ask all of our past presidents and chairs. So what happened during your year that you served as president or chair?
Yes, we talked about it. We touched on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Initially, there were some big changes in March and then April, and then moving forward those first few months. One recollection that really stands out to me, there was a lot of unknown of what's going to happen and what does this mean for the organization as far as COVID at the time, as we're learning daily what that meant. But we knew there were some significant needs. And really, we were able, through primarily Vern and the board and the staff, there was Manhattan Together.
MHK
Together. At its infancy, we didn't even have a name for it.
Right.
But we knew there was a need there. And it was really remarkable when we didn't know how the community was going to respond and how it was going to all work together. Vern said yes. The board said yes. And then the donor said yes. And it was really a testament to the community and serving some needs, some immediate needs, with some significant dollars that was really remarkable to me.
Serving the needs is one thing, but Vern, I think a lot of it was is that it helped temper a lot of fears.
Yeah. Well, the real root of the MHK Together program was a Philly cheesesteak sandwich and a Pepsi with Blade Mages. Mm. And he called me one afternoon and he said, "Hey, we've got to do something. What are you doing tonight?" And it was a Friday night. And I said, "Well, I'm fine." And he says, "I'll grab you a sandwich and come over to my place and let's figure something out." We've talked before, but we agreed something needed to happen and we needed to create some sort of a challenge. And so I said, "Hey, I'll get some donors. Can you do the program?" He put the program together over the weekend, and before you know it, in 1 week, we were launching MHK Together, I think on a Thursday, and it was awesome. And the primary element was every time an individual in the community bought a gift card to support those local businesses so that they would have a cash flow, because they're still going to have expenses, but they weren't having a revenue. So this way, they would get a revenue and to motivate those donors or those people in the community to purchase those gift cards. Donors had put up equal amount of money that we would then give to support the employees or the nonprofits or charitable causes that were also being hindered. So the end result was $270,000 in contributions and $270,000 in gift card purchases that basically kept a lot of places level, at least for the foreseeing months as we looked at. So
a lot of places and a lot of people.
Right.
You look back at the year and all the different challenges that we all faced. The foundation has, you're on the board, you're meeting a lot.
Correct.
We became acclimated to this thing called Zoom. Had you ever been on a Zoom meeting before you were on the GMCF board?
Well, I don't believe so.
Vern, were you ever on?
Well, ironically, maybe. I had been, because I also serve on a board in Haiti, and that's how we conducted many of our meetings. I certainly wasn't as proficient as I learned that year, that's for sure.
Do you think, Bill, that that heightened the interest and also the need to make sure that we were able to reach out and help the members of the community that were in need?
No question. It was certainly a heightened sense, and the board and staff and donors all recognized that. Some of it was, where does that need to go, yeah, and how long is it going mm-hmm. to be? And to your point, all of it was, you know, their communication, whether it was through Zoom, through email, there's a significant need. We're going to try and do what needs to be done and deal with it in the best way we can and continue to do the normal operations, the board and the organization as well.
And I think back to all the different efforts. You know, we had individuals who were making masks for people because you couldn't just buy them there in mm-hmm. those initial days, and how everything just totally, drastically changed from the way we gathered and all the different events that we have, especially those that we host.
Well, one of the biggest things that became apparent is typically, we've looked at supporting those that have the needs in the community. They're kind of down and out and have strong financial needs. Well, we were now moving to an additional class of individuals, which were your working class, but your minimum wage class or your servant-oriented class, and just your services, those that create but didn't have work to have an income. And so we found friends and neighbors that we didn't know had needs that were trying to help. So it really expanded our reach a great deal, and it was rewarding to be able to step up and help so many.
So you walk in the door as president, you have this, and then just before you become chair, COVID locks down everything, including the CFAs, the annual meeting. That was a big challenge to overcome.
Those were big adjustments. It takes a lot of work to put on those events, and they're impactful events, but you still want to have some sense of normalcy and some sense of communication and tie-in to the donors, to the community, to all those vested people that we work with. And we made a decision we could do that remotely as best we can mm-hmm. and to still continue with those events, share the information, but just do it in a different way. And we were successful in doing that. It was different, but it was important to continue doing those. And we did Grow Green remotely, and we did the annual meeting remotely as well.
So you're in your year as chair, and you've got this virtual event just before you come in.
Right.
And then
yeah,
it's just crazy to think about all the challenges, and yet we feel like we overcame a lot.
I think that's right. It was a concerted effort to make sure we still host the event, share the information. We did it in a way that had never been done before, and certainly it wasn't the preferred. We like getting everyone together yeah. in person. We've been able to do that since then, but we managed and adapted, and everyone was resilient and able to pitch in and do the best with what we could at that point.
What's your takeaway from all of that?
You know, the takeaway for me was we were in uncharted waters, really were. And I think everyone involved in the organization just took a step back and said, okay, we're still going to deliver. You know, we're still going to deliver what needs to be done for the organization and maintain all the important services that we provide. But we may have to do it in a different way, and we're going to have to think about things in a different way, and we're going to have to adapt. But the biggest takeaway for me was just how the community responded to all of those things. There was a new need in different ways, but the donors and everyone wanting to work together to service those new needs was really remarkable. It spoke a lot to the resiliency and really just the donor fund and donor mentality that this community has. Very giving in a very difficult circumstance.
And Vern, as the president of the foundation, you know, your hopes for the year take on a tremendously different perspective.
We knew there were needs out there right from the get-go, and so the MHK Together was certainly not on our radar. Many thanks to Blade and the 502 team for what they did, and we were able to do Grow Green, which was seamlessly because we had already had it set up to be able to accept online credit card giving, and so that was a no-brainer. We just make it all credit card giving online. And of course, we had some mail-ins that we could process that way. And it was kind of ironic because so much of what we had done in the past, we were able to continue doing in a staff mode, in a virtual mode, without necessarily being together, but lots of Zoom meetings, staff meetings, and we would pop into the office if we need to. But ironically, the hats goes off to the staff for putting this together, because I don't know that we skipped a beat. We just beat the drum from a different angle, I guess you might say.
But Vern, do you ever look back and think, gee, I wish I could have a Zoom meeting overlooking the golf course?
Well, there were a lot more comfortable drives to the office in those years. To be able to get up and take a shower and walk to your computer, you know, I got another 15, 30, 40 minutes of work done every day then. It was a lot of fun. And frankly, even the year before, we had set ourselves up where we could work remotely if we had a bad weather day or if somebody didn't feel good. And so we were all set up with password stuff. And so we just kicked it into gear, and staff was smaller at that time. And like I say, we hardly missed a beat. We talked differently, but we hardly missed a beat.
Lots of different challenges, but also it gives you a tremendously different perspective on the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, what its purpose is, the people that help through the foundation and through the nonprofits. Let's talk a bit about, you know, how you feel the GMCF is best serving the community, not only during your term as chair, but also moving forward.
You know, I think that it's been remarkable, really, the scope of the GMCF through the years, particularly now with the affiliate program and just the broader geographic scope. Certainly the core is Manhattan, and a lot of the resources and a lot of the services are based there, but really the expansion through the affiliate program is remarkable. And I also think that more and more, whether it be donors, whether it be nonprofits, or whether it be different organizations, they kind of look to the GMCF as the point of contact for either new projects, assisting with existing projects, and it's really vital. I think the GMCF plays a vital role in the community in many different ways.
What do you look forward to down the road?
I view it as just going to continue. That scope of providing a place for donors to help with existing programs, to maybe develop some new programs, scholarships and services that way is significant. I think through some of the social services and support of those organizations is going to continue to grow. The dollars are continuing to grow, and the need is continuing to grow. And it's tough balancing all of that, but there's been growth both from a financial perspective, from a staffing perspective, and I think from an impact perspective. And I think that's going to continue to grow, and I know the Strategic Initiatives Committee is looking at that, and the board is looking at that.
Do you look back at the year with everything related to COVID and so many different changes that were made to all the different activities? Do you feel like you got shortchanged? And if yes, have you talked to Vern about another opportunity to serve as chair?
The good news is I don't feel shortchanged. I will say, though, that there was so much uncertainty, not only in the organization, but just nationally. For some reason, to me personally, just the way that the GMCF responded to those needs at that time and how the Manhattan community and region really responded. I thought it said a lot about the core of our community. It was very memorable, not in a nostalgic way, but just in a very impactful way of really what makes up the community and how you respond in a difficult situation.
You know, I think in a lot of ways, when things are just happening, they seem to be pretty easy and life goes on and you kind of take care of things. But I really think that people recognize when there's a big bump in the road, you know, how you get over it or around it. I would say this from my standpoint, that was a year that probably put GMCF on the minds of a lot of people because we adapted very quickly and solved a lot of issues very quickly. Thanks to friends and neighbors, trustees, board members. Bill was great to work with. You want leaders that can kind of keep the storms calm. You can navigate, make good decisions, and move forward and not always have to worry about the backside. And it was great working with Bill that year. And I think his leadership, the board's confidence in him and us, and the community's faith in us, we were able to do a lot of things. And so it was probably a year, Bill, that made a huge impact in a lot of minds that we will never know about. But a lot of minds thought, okay, these guys can handle this stuff. I appreciate your leadership during that time frame.
I appreciate those comments. There's no doubt that the GMCF is made up of a lot of different pools of people, but it all starts with the staff. And I enjoyed the experience working with Vern. I saw how he was able to adapt quickly and was able to think outside the box and say yes and then find out a way. Everyone involved in the staff and the board was tremendous and enjoyed working with all of them. And we're just appreciative of the donors. They're the ones that make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so it was a trying year in many different ways, but we adapted as best we could and ultimately had a good year.
Thank you, friend.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Philanthropy Today, an inside look at the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. You can always learn more about the GMCF at our website, mcfks.org. We also invite you to subscribe to Philanthropy Today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Lewis. I'm proud to host Philanthropy Today. It's hosted and produced in the Ad Astra Cast Studios in downtown Manhattan, Kansas.